Alex Trebek, Raymond Burr, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Carrey, Michael J. Fox, James Cameron, Doug Henning, Joe Shuster, Neil Young, Katie Lang. These are all famous people who have origins tracing back to Canada. A rugged and beautiful country, Canada is rich in culture and heritage. Well before the 20th century, prehistoric tribes from Asia had come to Canada across the Bering Strait. The Vikings were the first Europeans to make the journey around 1000 AD. In the early 1600s, French explorer Samuel de Champlain founded the French-speaking city of Quebec. With God in their heart, the Canadians were blessed with the opportunity to invite Supreme Master Ching Hai, a renowned humanitarian and spiritual leader, to their country in 1991 and again in 1993 during her World Lecture Tour. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, To Communicate with God is to Communicate with the Light and Sound, delivered on February 26, 1991 in Toronto, Canada.
Good evening, my friends. I have to first thank the Canadian meditation groups, our disciples, who has been working very hard in the late few days. Sometimes don't sleep enough at night. And I also thank many so-called Buddhist associations who have helped us to make this evening comfortable for everybody. Yesterday I have arrived at the airport and the customs have first refused to let us take our things inside, you know, something like books and tapes, like books at first, and tapes, and we didn't know why. We thought it's not allowed in your country, a Buddhist religion or so-called Buddhist. I said, I'm not a Buddhist really, I'm everything. I like beauty, truth, and virtues, yes. And these basic things exist in all religions. Therefore, I love all religions. But anyhow, we thought we're not allowed to come in because we don't look like anybody in the airport. So they say, okay, if you don't like us to come in or you don't like our stuff to be in, then we leave them here. Could we come in without them? You know. But then later I have found out that they wanted just that we pay tax for these things, that's all. I say, oh, then why didn't you say earlier? We just pay tax. No problem. And then she was so happy that we understood the principle of this so long argument. I say, it's so simple. Why didn't you say so? And she couldn't believe it, that we made it so easy. Well, I say, what has to be done must be done. So now we pay tax, all right? The customs keep explaining to us that I'm just trying to protect my country, you know. This is our law, you know. I try to protect my country. I say, yes, 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 definitely. We understand this. It's very good that you do, yes. I was just sorry that it took so long to understand the main point, and all our people were waiting outside. And it's cold for the people outside, and we just prolong the things for nothing, you know. We have TVs and we have movies and we have everything. Nowadays, information is so fast. Everybody knows everything, even the child knows. And when I was walking on the street in some other country, the child come to me and said, you know Kung Fu? Everywhere I've gone, people just ask me if I know Kung Fu. Yes. Mostly they will not ask me about the fantastic doctrine of the Buddha or how to liberate yourself. I think like that, they just say, you know Kung Fu? Yes. And in Costa Rica, one child asked me, can you do magic? These are the basic understanding of people and children about the so-called nuns and monks or the meditating people or the yogis. Actually, we are not just like that. And not everybody knows Kung Fu. Yeah, so don't fear. Yes. I have learned some when I was younger. And I have learned some so-called Qi Gong in China, but I don't use them. Yeah, I'm as soft as noodle. I don't believe in violence. I have learned them just for knowledge, when I had nothing else to do at that time, and just pass my time, that's all. Actually, not every monk knows the way to liberation, that's for sure too. And not every monk who doesn't know magic, and not every monk who knows only Kung Fu, yes. So there are different kind of monks and different kind of Buddhists. And yesterday they were asking me also, what kind of Buddhists we are, you know. Do we belong to the Dalai Lama? I said, no, we belong to the Buddha. And so, there are many different type of Buddhists, and we are one of the type that are not only Buddhists, yes. We stem from Buddhists. We were in the Buddhist tradition. We grow up and started from Buddhism, but we have to grow out of Buddhism in order to integrate with other faiths and in order to help mankind at large. We cannot cling to any frame all the time. Otherwise, we couldn't grow up. It's just like one person who enrolled himself in the university, but later he must leave the university. Even if he stayed there, he could not cling to the seat of the student. He must leave it in order to be of use. Even the university study is wonderful. Is excellent and offers a lot of knowledge. A wise man must leave it in order to grow and to be a professor. Therefore, if we say we are Buddhist, it's also correct, but it's also incorrect. Now, let's go back to the story of the airport. The customs has reminded me of a duty that I was put in on a very high esteem. She said she was protecting her country, and that touched me very deeply. Yes, of course she has to do her duty. Everyone comes into the country who brings some good should pay tax. Yeah. But I explained to her that we're willing to pay tax if you think it's necessary. But anyhow, we don't make any profit from these things, because even if people buy them, they only give the amount that we give out. We don't make one penny more. And it's not even enough, not even enough. If we count the airplane tickets and the equipment and all the work we have done for free, we should charge more. But anyhow, all our tapes and videos charged with the so-called like the money that you would buy from the shop empty. We didn't charge the content of it. So I said to her, we don't make profit. We most often give them for free anyhow, all the books and tapes sometimes, because the refugees often, they don't have money. All of us have to work and earn some money in order to support this job. We don't make money. She said, no problem, we still have to run tax. I have to protect my country. I said, all right, it's good. We pay, doesn't matter, I just want to explain to you. And anyhow, we didn't know the tapes exist because somebody else just put in the last minute. Anyhow, we didn't intend to bring them. So I was thinking, this is not the point, it's not much the tax anyhow. I was thinking, to protect the country is very good. And it equal in my mind all the time. And I was thinking, to protect a country, there are many ways. Yes. Now we first protect the economical situation of the country, and also very important and even equally or more important is to protect the moral standard, the ethical value of that country. Do not you think so? Yes? If we just try to protect the economical situation without a very solid foundation of a moral standard, I think it's shaky also. Yes. So I was thinking, I'm also protecting your country by doing this kind of job, to reminding the people of this country the more important value in life. That is the moral value. Therefore, I was thinking, well, I'm doing the same job with her, you know, but she is paid and I'm not. And I have even to pay tax for it. And I was thinking, you know, it's a very peculiar situation, but how can I explain this to ordinary understanding of people? Therefore, I just pay and let's have peace. Anyhow, we can afford it. Thanks God, I can afford it because my painting can support my work, yes, and also all the monks' work in some ways to support ourselves. Therefore, we are not a burden to the society anywhere we go. We pay all the expenses, plus tax, and extra tax. And I was thinking, you know, what kind of world is this? Huh? Some person protects the country like the soldier, yes, like the government office, like the customs in the airport. They are paid and respected for it. And we also protect in the country or the world. And we have to be, you know, exam all over and then our luggage pour out and everything. But never mind. This is what Jesus say, my kingdom is not here. My kingdom is in heaven. Therefore, the people who work for the kingdom of God often suffer misunderstanding, persecution, and slander. Yes, this we are used to it by now. Therefore, some people ask me why I do this kind of thing. So you can just answer. It is just like the customs at the airport. Yeah, it's her duty to protect the country, her country. Every country is my country. Therefore, I also have the duty to protect them as much as my ability can afford. As long as I only teach the good moral value of life, as long as I only remind people of the noble side of their nature, I am doing my duty. I do harm to no one. I would be very proud in front of God. I feel that I'm doing my duty right. Therefore, if some people do not understand this, I cannot understand them. If people think that we are not doing the right thing, they should go out and do it, instead of stay at home, drink tea and criticize. Now, many people who are supposed to be so-called practitioners, yogis, monks, and nuns, etc., they do not really practice the way that was prescribed to them by Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad. Therefore, I'm trying to remind people of this practical side of any religion. Religions doesn't mean that we should go into the church or the temple once a week only and then say some prayers which are already written with or without attention, or sing something without even concentrating on the songs. Religions originally means that we have to practice the instructions which is laid down by the masters when the master was alive. And then to reach mastership, it's just like in the university. A professor would give you instructions in your study in order to enable you to become like him or to reach what he has reached, to know what he has known, or maybe even exceed him if you are more intelligent, talented, and diligent. No professor in the university would keep his student under his spell forever and say, you can never be professor. You ignorant. You stupid. You whatever. You. Okay? Yeah. The study of the university is meant to make the student wise, to make the student grow out of it later. Yes. So if we just enroll in the university and never study, never have instruction from the living professor, then we are not college students. This is very logical. And I do not understand why many people of the religious university do not realize this fact. For example, we just repeat the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do such and such. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Thou shalt forgive thy enemies. And somebody slap you on the right, you give them the left, etc. But we never do it. And then we wonder why religion doesn't bring relief. And also, even within a religious structure, many groups fight each other because they do not practice what the masters teach. Now, if the so-called master do not practice themselves, then it would be disaster for both students and masters. Suppose a professor, a so-called professor in the university, has not reached the level of professor and has never studied himself but claimed himself to be professor, then it is something very strange, very peculiar. No? Is that not so? Hmm? Yes, yes. And the same thing with religious study. It is also a study like every other study. Please remember, there is nothing mysterious, nothing strange, nothing difficult about religious understanding. It is a science like every other science. There are some physical science, physics, and some are abstract science. And for each science, we need an expert to teach us. Now suppose the professor who want to be to teach in psychology, he must have graduated in this field in order to show the student what he knows and what the student should know. So the same in religious order, a priest or so-called monks or any so-called teachers in this field should master the art of this abstract science in order to teach others. To master this science doesn't mean you repeat the Bible, doesn't mean you recite the Buddhist scriptures or what other religious scriptures alone, but it means we must understand the essence of the scriptures, of the Holy Bibles, or whatever religious text that we professed to understand. For example, in the Buddhist scriptures, many various texts had mentioned that once we turn our hearing inward, we can hear different sounds, like the sounds of sea waves, the sounds of thunders, the sounds of cymbals, the sound of heavens, devas, the sound of even hell. And we see many various as different worlds which are ordinarily invisible to the naked eyes. Or in the Bible, it is stated that when God appears to a certain set saints in the past, God's voice sounds like many water. Now mark the many water, because in the Buddhist it was a sound of the sea waves. Sea is many water. Same thing. Or God's voice sound like thunder. Yes, and God appear like a flame of fire. And in Buddhist scriptures, it's mentioned is at light. Light or flame of fire is a similar things. It is difficult to explain and to describe this kind of inner experience and visions. Therefore, sometimes in the Bible it is stated not that clear. Or in the Buddhist scripture it says something different. Now if you say a sea water, sea waves, the sound of the sea waves, or the sound of many waters, what difference does it make? Does it make any difference? It is the same thing, pointed to the same experience. Now suppose these are the experience that we should see or know when we see God, or we see Buddhas, or know the Buddha nature, then the so-called priests, monks, or professional yogis or teachers should know these experiences before they claim themselves to be the expert in this field. You follow me? Yes, it's just like the psychology professor. He must know what he's talking about before he teach, no? He cannot just read books. He has to experience too. Biology or anything, they have a big laboratory and they have to experience many things, just like a surgeon. Before he can operate a patient, he has to operate on many other dead bodies, something like that, and learn with many expert doctors in this field. It is very difficult already to be a master of any physical study. How much more if we want to be an expert in the abstract science? But many people think it is a joke, or it's very easy. Just repeat the scriptures, recite the Buddha's name, or recite the sutras. That is religion. If that were so easy, all of us are monks. All of us are masters. All of us are Buddhas already, because we can do all this. It's so easy. But everyone knows that we are not. Everyone also knows that we have Buddha nature inside, our so-called kingdom of God within us. But we also know that we have not realized it. That's why our anxieties does not lessen. Our ignorance will not decrease. And our wisdom has not improved. We know all this. Therefore, we are sure that religion doesn't mean only reciting the Buddha's scriptures or reading the holy Bibles. Now, if we want to know the true religion, if we want to get in touch with God or the wisdom within us, there is a way to do it. Just like the way to do every other things in life. Provided we have someone who knows that can show us how. And then we can learn very fast. Because our nature is intelligent. We have a great reservoir of wisdom inside. And everyone knows that we use only 1 to 5% of this reservoir of wisdom. And there are 90-something% laying there dormant, useless. Now the way of practicing of this meditation method is to try to awaken the whole. Yes, to try to learn how to use the rest of our wisdom that we have it with our birth. And that's all. It's very simple. It's just like we learn how to dig a mine to get gold out of it, or diamond. We can also learn to dig into our reservoir of intelligence, to make use of it in order to be more efficient, more alert, more happy when we are alive. And of course, if we are happy, wise, and efficient in life, then we would be the same after life. Because life doesn't end after we leave this physical body, continues. And nowadays, many scientists' research have proven to us that life after life exists, that life continues. I guess the intelligent people, like those who come to this lecture today, would have known some of this. If not, you could inquire. There are many books from hospital research about people who come back after death, or who remember rebirth, or who understand, who knows the karma, means the cause and retribution of any actions, the action and reactions, who knows very well, who can remember the past lives, etc. So I do not go into this kind of field. I suppose you already know, and if you do not, there are much information around you. And when you watch television also, sometimes they would offer you many informative programs in this aspect. And nowadays, most people know about karma and about the cause and condition of life, about the birth and rebirth, about reincarnation, about the eternal soul, etc. So since we already know that we are eternal, then there is another step, is that we should know where we come from, why should we be here, and what can we do after we leave this world, or what can we do during this world. Now the past we cannot change, but the future we could. I had just a lecture the day before in Boston. I had mentioned that if we want to live this life and go into the glorious future, then we must be prepared for it. It doesn't come alone. Although we might earn it in a certain degree, a small degree, by doing virtuous deeds and prayers, we could not know the whole truth if we do not practice sincerely and deeply, and if we do not get in touch with our own inner kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. The Bible says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. Now, if God lives within us, then we are verily a walking God, a walking, living, breathing God. In the Buddhist scripture, it is said that Buddha nature is inherent in all beings. And the Buddha say, I have become Buddha, and you are the one who will also become Buddha. But how? If we remember the Bible, it's the same thing again, but I have to refer to the Bible, because that's all we know. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, in the Hinduism, it is a similar thing. Yes. In the beginning is this certain vibration. The Word means the vibration. And this vibration creates all things. There's nothing that wasn't made by this. Now therefore, the Word was God, remember that. And the Hinduism also say the same thing, this vibration is God. Now so in order to find God, we have to get in touch with this Word, or so-called vibration. That is the basic of the Guanyin method, to try to help us to get in touch with this word that means God.
Thank you for your charming presence on today's Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of To Communicate with God is to Communicate with the Light and Sound. Up next is A Journey Through Ascetic Realms on Supreme Master Television, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned and have many happy and blessed days.